Okay, the 14th question is, what is gospel meeting? We are not going to spend as much time on this one as we did on this last one. What is faith? What is faith? Big question. What is a gospel meeting? Little question. So let's keep that in mind. There's just not enough meat on the bone with regard to this to spend a great deal of time on it. But it does allow us to do this. We're going to answer the question, what is gospel meeting, very quick. And then we're going to talk a little about the importance of evangelism, and as well, why some of the tactics and techniques that are being used today to try to appeal to men and to bring men in are misguided in the religious world today. And why our emphasis should be on the proclamation of truth and our dependence upon God's Word. So those are basically where we're going to go with this. And that's the point of this particular lesson. But we do want to make note of the fact that when you go and you invite someone to our gospel meeting, that's not nomenclature that is typical in the religious world. Gospel meeting. What's a gospel meeting? That's a question that you'll have. I've had that asked of me quite often. And so just very quickly to go over the various points in this outline, which are basically covered. You'll notice in this particular case, there were only three verses that were used at the end of the article. The article is quite a bit shorter, which is why the font is a little bit larger. But using reference to the attempted revival. So when we talk about a gospel meeting, that's not to say there's no authority or no scripture for what we do when we have a gospel meeting. It's simply the article was designed to describe it. So we traditionally have several efforts each year where a visiting preacher comes, spends a week preaching the gospel during special worship services, and we simply call them gospel meetings. So that's the reason they're called gospel meetings, is because it is a series of meetings where the gospel is preached. Very descriptive. And since the principle is a scriptural principle, it's certainly an expedient and acceptable way of referring to these meetings. However, it is not the way the religious world in general refers to the meetings, because most of the time those kinds of meetings are called revivals among the denominations. And I truly think, I wouldn't be able to say, go back and look it up and figure it out from secular history, but I have a feeling that brethren began calling them gospel meetings to differentiate themselves from the revivals of the denominations. This may very well have been, especially in the time when, I'm not sure how familiar you are with what we might refer to as restoration history, or the history of the Lord's Church in America and such. But back in the mid-1800s, there is what was referred to in religious circles as the Great Awakening. And you had an awful lot of evangelical fervor that existed among people. Often it was based in superstition and ignorance, but there were a number of religious denominations that actually began at that time, and there were claims made that the Holy Spirit brought a revival into America. For example, the Oneness Pentecostal Church has its beginnings when there was a new baptism of the Holy Spirit. I think it was in Springtown, Missouri, someplace in Missouri. And that idea is that this was kind of a 19th century restoration of the first century church that was accompanied by the tongue speaking and the signs of the Holy Spirit. And the Oneness Pentecostal Church basically takes its origin there as basically a divine fiat from God that let's start it over again here at this particular time. So there was a lot of emotional fervor. There were the Shakers and the Holy Rollers, and there were individuals who had the mourner's bench approach to praying through to God. It was very, very typical of that time that you would have people who would get down on their knees in the mourner's bench in front of the building, and they would wait for, as they prayed diligently to God, wait for an experience. And the evidence would be speaking in tongues, but there would be some kind of experience that they would have, which would be evidence that God had saved them. And the thing about it is, sometimes those experiences would take hours and hours and hours to come upon them. And so you had these long, protracted meetings that were full of emotion as people were encouraged and riled up in the point and hopes that they would begin to start babbling. And as a result of this, it would be evidence that they were indeed saved by God. The praying the sinner's prayer is something of fairly recent origin. Over only in the past 120, 130 years. And it basically was an outgrowth of this because the mourner's bench style was something that was difficult. You know, people would come, say, "You want to be saved?" And they would sit down there and they'd be waiting and waiting and waiting. Nothing would happen. And it caused a lot of conflict and problems. And there's one particular preacher, and I forget what his name is. It seems like it's Billy Sunday was the name. But I may be wrong on that because I know that's one of those tent preachers, and he may not be the one. But he was the first one to instead call upon individuals to pray the sinner's prayer and then proclaim that as a result of that prayer, they had been saved by God, which made it a lot quicker. And it was something that came in. But anyway, as regard, a lot of emotionalism and such. And so a lot of this was called revival. And brethren wanted to distance themselves from all of that. It was going on, for example, in Kentucky when Barton W. Stone and his group were meeting at that cabin church there in that portion of Kentucky. There was what was called the Cane Ridge meeting, where there were a lot of different denominations came together in a protracted period of time, several months in extent. And there was an awful lot of this Holy Spirit rolling around on the ground, all that kind of stuff going on there. And so brethren are seeing that kind of thing, kind of, you know, distance themselves from the term revival, and so the term gospel meeting became prevalent. Now again, that's a little bit of a supposition on my part, but I know that personally, growing up, I always wanted to make sure that we said gospel meeting instead of revival as a result of that, to differentiate between what we did and what the denominations do. Now what we're going to talk about a little bit in our questions is contrasting what a gospel meeting does and accomplishes and what's the authority for doing these things and what typically or commonly is done among some religious denominations that they call revivals, to make sure that we recognize where the emphasis should be. Having said that, is there anything unscriptural and appropriate about using the term revival to refer to a preaching service designed to evangelize or to edify? Anybody got a problem with it? Your problem is the differentiation, right? Okay, so it may not necessarily be an expedient thing to do. Is it an unscriptural thing to say revival? That's the question that I'm asking.
I think that it kind of leaves a connotation of more an emotional faith and not so much well-founded in true, you know, just following God's word. It's more like, oh, revival, reviving my spirit. We're coming together so that we can have this emotional movement, you know, and it's like, well, as Christians, we should just have our convictions. You know, we know what God said and we need to follow it and not be led by such a emotional...
Right. And I agree with that, which is basically what I was saying just a moment ago. But let me ask you a question. Is it important from time to time for Christians, is it possible for a Christian to reach a state where he is in need of having his faith revived? Yeah,
sure.
Of course. And that's the point. And that's the only point that he's making in regard to this as far as the use of the name. So the concept of needing reviving. I mean, the church in Sardis needed a revival. They needed it because it was a dead church. And so that could possibly be the case here. Anyway, in other words, it may not be an expedient use of the term today. Yeah, I wouldn't want to put Church of God on the front of our building, even though it's a scriptural term, just because of maybe the connotation, what people would think if they saw it, because of the error that is taught by those who call themselves members of the Church of God. But there's nothing unscriptural about the name. It just may not be the wisest thing for us to do in any particular circumstance. But it's not unscriptural by any means. It's actually a scriptural designation. So that's the distinction I would make. Josh, you had your hand up?
I was going to say that...
You going to disagree with your brother?
Okay. God is built into services through edification, through reviving one another through edification, singing songs, and reading scriptures every Sunday.
Yeah. There are plenty of things that we have to talk about the religious denominations doing that are unscriptural, not to quibble about their use of that particular term. And that's kind of the point that he's making in this text. Yes, sir.
Not trying to be too nitpicky, but I think there might need to be a distinction between the special, put in the first paragraph, during special worship services. This isn't kind of like the world regards Easter as being a special worship service where we have to show up. It's outside of the regular schedule of attendances that we have.
Yeah, and that's legitimate. I mean, I put that up, so that's my wording, and you're that's legitimate. point. And I don't want to leave anybody with the idea that the special worship services, that when we call this over, that we are elevating them above any others. Let's say additional instead of special. Just in other words, we've decided to have an additional effort of evangelism. And we've commonly called those gospel meetings. The final term here, and then we'll do the questions next week. And the point that we were making is that both terms are expedient and helpful. It's good to hear the gospel preached. Preaching can and should lead to a revival of zeal and effort on our part. That's the whole purpose of the meetings. So we're not going to quibble about the term revival. But what we do disagree with, of course, is some of the practices that we'll find, and we'll delineate some of those in our discussion next week, of whether it be a dilution of the gospel as the social gospel has done, whether it be the use of unscriptural practices to try to make an appeal. Those kinds of things are problematic, troublesome, and we see them among religious groups today. And so we want to delineate what we do from what the religious world does and give a scriptural authority and a contrast between the two, and that will be what we'll do for the next week or so. All right. We actually got through an entire article in about 10 minutes, which is what I intended to do with every single one of them. I think this is the first time we've done it. So we'll pick up with the questions next week. Thank y'all for coming today.